When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pick up 40 chicken McNuggets and tangy Cajun sauce at Macca's drive-thru today.
Welcome to the Macca's Run.
Yes, indeed, on this Monday night. Good evening, everybody. Brett Phillips in the chair. The Macca's Run as we zip through the day in sport. A big Monday, as always, following a round of footy. 2 hours of tennis after 8 o'clock, a staple part of the Monday night menu here on SEN. The first serve and the sporting capital after 10 o'clock tonight. So I'll take you through the next few hours. You can always join me, Harcourt's open line, 1300 736 736 for all things real estate. You can speak to our good friends at Harcourt's. If you prefer to text us, Temper. Consumer choice winner, Temper mattresses, pillows, adjustable bases, magnificent, conforming to the exact shape of your body. 0433 98 11 16. Who would have thought, hey? The Saints, top of the table. Collingwood, Carlton, Melbourne, Sydney, Essendon, North Melbourne and Richmond as the top eight. It was good to get back to the footy in the commentary box yesterday. Melbourne put on a terrific display. They laid the foundations at the start of the match, very similar to St Kilda. As part of their 150-year celebrations on Saturday night, they were both challenged, Melbourne and the Saints, and they finished strongly. And the Demons, I think, made a little statement yesterday. Far more efficient inside 50, and that's been the blemish on Melbourne. That we know they've got the balls in the midfield, the strong bodies of Oliver and Petrarca and Viney. Brodie Grundy hit to advantage more often than not. I think they didn't lose too much in the ruck. And Sydney, who have got what the second youngest list in the competition, couldn't go with them. So I think Melbourne made a little statement. Sydney had had the wood on the Demons for a number of occasions, certainly at the MCG and in Melbourne in general. I think that fired up the Demons to get out of the blocks really early yesterday. So was super impressed. I think Bailey Fritch is becoming almost my favourite footballer to watch. I mean, I am endeared to anyone who kicks on the left side, and I worked alongside the St Kilda Hall of Famer and Nicky Del Santo yesterday, who was, well, dubbed the Smooth Mover when he played. I think there's nothing better, is there? A left footer who just kicks the ball so sweetly. And you feel at the time that the ball's going to go in Fritch's area, good things are going to happen. So it was good to get along to the footy. I actually sat in the crowd on Saturday night for the Saints and the Bombers. Set on level four. I haven't done that for a little while. I've missed the banter of being out in the outer. The frustration. I actually took a friend of mine who'd never been to the MCG, can you believe? And he wanted to come to the footy, and he was absolutely engrossed by this gentleman who was almost going to fall apart. He was bursting at the seams. And I said, well, that was me about 25, 30 years ago in the outer supporting Fitzroy, just tearing my hair out, purple, ringing up talkback radio on the way home, despondent. I used to ring the great Harry Beitzel. He used to say to me, don't worry, son, there's always next week. I said, but next week's a long time away, Harry. It's about 7 days I've got to wait for a little bit of redemption. So it was great to sit in the crowd at the MCG, which I don't often do. I'm privileged to work at the footy, but not having a team, I don't regularly go as just a fan. I will say one thing. I know that it's certainly on the cards. It's likely the MCG is going to get a further renovation, particularly with the Southern Stand. But they've got to fix the acoustics of the speakers in the greatest ground in this country. It's probably certainly lagging behind Optus Stadium, the newest ground in terms of technology, aesthetics, sound. The experience of going there as a fan, the MCG, though, have got to sort that out. I mean, St Kilda put on a magnificent pre-game with the 150-year celebrations, all the legends coming out on the ground. But if you were sitting in level four of the MCG, you could hardly hear a thing. You couldn't hear the theme songs really played. So I'm sure that I'm not the first person that's raised that, but I reckon that's pretty important from a fan experience point of view. 1300 736 736. Plenty of talking points. It's been dissected right across the programs today. We'll bring you some of the best chats on the sporting capital a little bit later on tonight. You can always catch up if you've been away from the radio today, sen.com.au, the SEN app. You can go to the podcasts of the various shows and catch up on some of the interviews you've missed. But plenty of talking points, certainly from the RAM. The umpire dissent rule certainly having a massive impact on the result of GWS and Carlton on Saturday. Steve Canelio penalised for a seemingly innocuous action of throwing out his arms, resulting in a Carlton free kick to put them in front. We've heard the explanation from the umpire's boss, Dan Richardson, today. If you haven't heard that, we might play that for you now, because he did front the media. I know that Jared and Kane were trying to get him on Sports Day, and they have been chasing Dan for quite some time. I don't know if we're any clearer. Take a listen and tell me what you think.
That, make no mistake, if the umpire's decision wasn't challenged both verbally and through actions by the player concerned, then we wouldn't be having this debate. So make no mistake, players are well aware if they challenge the umpire's decision, they run the risk of a dissent and a free kick or 50 metre penalty applying, and that was the case in this instance.
But it's not black and white. It's not black and white. Once again, it comes down to the umpire's interpretation of what they consider to be dissent. And everyone will have a slightly different take on that, or as to what level of opposition from the players that they're going to take in close proximity. It's going to be some frustration. It's still grey. And there was one, I think, a couple of minutes later that it was actually let go. So, I mean, we've been talking about, I don't want to really get bogged down with umpires. I never enjoy getting bogged down with the whole umpiring thing, because I feel like I've sat in this chair and spoken about umpires a hell of a lot, and we can have four umpires, we can have extra angles, technology. It's a tough game. You've got to make decisions. It's just never going to be totally perfect. There's always going to be things to debate. And the things that can appear to be simple and black and white, if you're out there in the cut and thrust of it, I mean, that is a bit perplexing. So it's the direction that they've been given, the umpires, as to how to adjudicate this. But once again, it comes down to the human, the umpire, making that call in that split moment of what they consider to be dissent. Anyway, it's a talking point. Let's hope it's not a continuous talking point right throughout the season. Geelong 0-3. It's certainly not total panic stations for the Cats. There have been teams that have been able to come back from early season deficits like this and still have a terrific season. But there are some concerns. I think Kane Corn certainly has been big on that across breakfast and Sports Day today, about just the hunger levels. And that's why it's so hard to go back-to-back in modern footy. You put so much into the season gone and you just take the foot off the pedal just ever so slightly. And we'll never know totally the impact of not having Joel Selwood around and what that is actually worth. That is really, really hard to measure. But the Cats have certainly got some work to do. As I mentioned, Melbourne's biggest win, 50 points over the Swans. Brodie Grundy, I thought, was fantastic. 25 hit-outs, and they were good hit-outs too. There can be hit-outs, and then there's hit-outs. Christian Petrarca, I mean, how do you pin this man in a tackle? And the man who we didn't even have to speak yesterday in commentary, young Jacob Van Rooyen, who kicked three, had to bide his time for Casey in the VFL last year. He's going to become a bit of a cult figure. The Melbourne members in unison yesterday, every time he went near the footy. And Greg Stafford, when we interviewed him pre-game, the Melbourne assistant coach, he was almost dribbling, Greg. It was like putting his son out to play. The pride, he's worked with him on the forward craft. He's been knocking down the match committee door to put young Jacob into the team. But they've had to build the football, a good size, 193, 96 kegs. So whether he keeps his spot long-term, but Melbourne have been searching, haven't they, for a couple of other dynamics in that forward line. And they got a good score yesterday, got good reward for entries. I think they're up about 10% on their season average yesterday in terms of efficiency inside 50. So that's big for Melbourne, because we know they've got a pretty stingy, resolute defence. They've got a midfield that's going to win a lot of footy. And it's just getting it finished. And as Greg Stafford told us pre-game, you've got to get all facets of the game right if you're going to be up at the pointy end of the ladder. They were terrific. Fremantle and Hawthorn back on the winners list. after wins against the Eagles and North Melbourne, respectively. I thought the Hawks certainly got it right tactically, no doubt about that. Sam Mitchell and his coaching staff have been praised heavily over the weekend for the way they set up the ground and denied North Melbourne the football. And Fremantle simply had to win. Gee, it's a tough road. I think Jared Healy's touched on the Sports Day today. It's going to be a tough road for the West Coast Eagles. With the horrific injuries they've got, the spirit, they hung on for a while yesterday. It would have been one of the best home and away season wins if they had got over the Dockers. But it's going to be a matter of numbers, certainly for West Coast. St Kilda, Collingwood, Carlton, the only unbeaten teams to start the season, the Saints and the Pies at 3-0. The Saints have got the Gold Coast this week, so a huge chance to possibly go 4-0. And the Pies, of course, up to the Gabba to take on Brisbane. Carlton with the two wins and a draw. The start to the season, and I heard Kane mention it on SEM Breakfast today. I haven't been in a footy tipping competition for as long as I can remember. Because you used to go into these footy tipping competitions, and I'd put far too much time and energy into it. And the people who know nothing about football in the office who, oh, I like the colours of that team. Oh, I'll just blindly just put a blindfold on me and I'll just pick them. They're the ones that win the footy tipping competition. I'm thinking there's no point being a part of it. And this is a difficult season to read. So what do we make of the first three rounds? Put your footy hat on. Love to hear from you. 1300 736 736 on the Harcourts open line. Or shoot us a temper text 0433 98 11 16. St Kilda, Collingwood, Carlton, Melbourne, Sydney, Essendon, North Melbourne and Richmond, your top eight as it stands tonight. We'll get a quick break in. Your calls, your texts, and we'll wrap up the rest of the big Monday in sport.
Pick up 40 chicken McNuggets and tangy Cajun sauce at Macca's drive-thru today.
Welcome to the Macca's Run.
On this Monday night, Brett Phillips in the chair. First serve coming up after 8 o'clock. We'll talk the world of tennis. Of course, it'll be the sporting cap after 10 o'clock tonight. Harcourt's open line. Certainly happy for you to jump on with us. 1300 736 736. Temper text 0433 98 11 16. We'll talk a bit of GP in just a moment. We were a little bit distracted in the box at the G yesterday with the dramatic ending and the safety car out a few times and the restarts and the way it all sort of ended the Australian Formula One Grand Prix. You could hear it from the MCG, and we'll certainly recap a little bit of that if you haven't caught any of it over the weekend. Ruben Gimby from West Coast has been awarded the Round 3 Rising Star nomination. 20 disposals, 8 tackles, 6 clearances, 13 contested possessions in the Derby yesterday. On a tough day, certainly for injury and the loss for West Coast, they might have found a young man with a very bright future. Marcus Bontempelli, Jordan DeGoey, Patrick Cripps, Mason Wood, Isaac Rankin and Caleb Sarong, all polling a perfect 10 coaches' votes this week. Luke Davies, Uniac and Jordan DeGoey sit equal first on 20 votes overall. How good was Isaac Rankin over the weekend? I think all of us who commentate football on AFL Nation haven't minded doing a Gold Coast game the last 2 or 3 years, because he's been a commentator's delight, and gee, he just adds that X factor that Adelaide need, and they are as hard as nails, so the Crows, as good as anyone around the contest. So you get the feeling, I mean, they possibly could have been 3-0 to start the year. So I think there's some real upside to the Adelaide Crows, well coached. Just that confirmation of the West Coast injury list. So Luke Shuey's had a horror run. Jeremy McGovern, both with hamstrings. Jamie Cripps with the ankle. So they'll be out for a number of weeks. Liam Ryan and Alex Witherden have also been had a couple of setbacks with a knee injury and concussion, respectively. So they had to go to the extra players last year to jump on the list as fill-in players from the Waffle and outside of the Waffle. Collingwood will be without their number one ruckman, Darcy Cameron, for several months after he injured his MCL on Friday night against the Tigers. St Kilda wingman Mason Wood has avoided a serious shoulder injury. He was good for the Saints, wasn't he, on the weekend, and could be available for Saturday night's clash against the Gold Coast. That is good news. He was in the sling when he was interviewed post-match, but he's a good player, Mason Wood. We often saw flashes of it, didn't we, at North Melbourne. Couldn't always have the consistency, but he's got that left foot. He's strong, can take a good mark, and also at the Saints, Jimmy Webster, set for an extended stint on the sidelines due to a fractured cheekbone suffered on Saturday night. Let's recap a bit of the Formula One GP from the weekend. We might have listened to Andrew Westacott, of course, the GP boss, with the security issues at the Grand Prix yesterday. We saw some fans get onto the track, which is just mind-boggling, really. And this was from Channel 7. Let's have a listen to Andrew Westacott.
Well, I don't know what caused the lapse, but yes, we have a very controlled process at the conclusion of the race. When the cars pass, then you get the ingress of the spectators onto the track. It's synonymous with motorsport, and it in fact occurs at many Grand Prix around the world. One of the things, though, after all the planning we do readiness exercises, we do simulations out on circuit and so on. There has been a breach of one of the perimeter lines just before turn one on the driver's right side again. That's a serious incident. We met with the FIA and the race stewards last night, and the Grand Prix Corporation will be submitting a full report in due course to the FIA and Formula One just to learn, see what went wrong. Something did clearly go wrong, and we've got to make sure that that doesn't happen again.
He's the outgoing boss, Andrew Westacott. Not officially sure when he signs off totally from his role as the GP boss, but that one, a bit of a tough one. I can't remember the name of the correspondent that was on with Jared and Sam just before I came on. Prior to 7:30, it's a little murky, that one, and how they're going to sort that, but certainly that can't happen again. There's no doubt about that. Max Verstappen, let's have a listen to Max and just, well, how frenetic the end was to the GP race.
Yeah, it was very chaotic today. A bit of a mess, to be honest. Especially the second red flag, I think that was really unnecessary today. That could have easily been solved with a virtual safety car or a safety car at most. But yeah, we got that red flag, and then you basically create even more trouble because then you go out on very cold tires. The safety car is driving super slow, and you arrive, you know, to the grid with stone cold tires. And you could see everyone in turn one was having a lot of trouble, and especially the cars in dirty air. They, you know, nobody crashes on purpose, but everyone went wide or had a touch, and yeah, it was just very chaotic.
So that's the voice of Max Verstappen, who spoke yesterday after the race. And young Oscar Piastri, of course, getting his first points. I think we're liking, if I can use a phrase I love using with footy, we like the cut of his jib, this young man. He speaks well, he's fresh, and, well, we need a local hope, don't we? And he spoke on Fox Sports post-race.
Chaos is how I would sum that up. Yeah, obviously crazy race. I think that's the first race I've been involved in with three red flags. So, no, crazy race. Happy to be in the points at the end of it. Yeah, I think pacing clean air was pretty solid. Just got stuck behind Yuki for a while. But, yeah, happy to get my first F1 points at home.
So, yeah, well done. Absolutely. They're tough to get, the F1 points, and the travelling roadshow will get out of Melbourne. Huge logistics setup, isn't it, the GP, to have it here and then the pack up and how they cart all this stuff around the world. I mean, I think that's why the Formula One Drive to Survive has been so popular, to, even if you're not an F1 petrol head, and I'm not a motorsport aficionado, or and I, you know, there are a lot of people who just love motorsport. We've all got our sporting tastes, but the F1 Drive to Survive, the way they did that, and even just having the monitor in our box yesterday, just the coverage of F1, the way they do it, I think is absolutely fantastic. Even if you're a layman and, you know, a bit of a novice, you can sort of become glued to it and just fascinated with just all the parts that make up a Formula One race, and just the amount of people that are on the track and around the teams. And yeah, it's quite unbelievable. I think the last GP I actually went to was a long time ago when I covered it for a radio station, another radio station back in the day. It was phenomenal to certainly be at, but yeah, it's been a little while. Probably take it for granted that it's in our own backyard. And the change now to becoming, I think we're the third race now, as opposed to being the first. How does that sit with you? 1-300-736-736. I liked it when we sort of kicked off the Formula One season, but much of a muchness, really. 1-300-736-736 or 0433-98-1116. So we'll bring you a few chats on the Sporting Cap after 10 o'clock tonight from the day in sport. And the first serve, of course, coming up very, very shortly. Big weekend in Miami with Daniil Medvedev and Petra Kvitova with a couple of very impressive victories. We're going to have a chat to Lawrence Robinson, Director of Game Development and Pathways at Tennis Australia, find out what's happening in our own backyard here. Some news around Juan Martin Del Potro. He mightn't be done just yet, Big Delpo. We'll tell you about that after 8 o'clock.